Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel and welcome to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland. Higher ground, that's what we want. Paul said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize. He was saying, in a sense, pursue progress before perfection. Come, go with me as we explore that theme. Come with me to higher ground. Hello, I'm Barry Black, and welcome to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Today, we're going to talk about pursuing progress before perfection. Pursuing progress before perfection. I've just written a book published by Tyndale entitled The Blessing of Adversity. It's my second book, and it was quite a challenge to write. It was quite a joy as well. One of the things I learned in writing a book was to deal with writer's block. I wanted to write, but I was having problems generating words. I had to learn that perfection is often the enemy of good, that you can't sit down at a word processor and churn out flawless paragraphs. Perfection is without defect. Perfection is without flaw. And many people fail to reach higher ground because they permit perfection to stop their progress. The challenge, therefore, a biblical challenge, is to pursue progress before perfection. The Apostle Paul put it this way, in Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I want to tell you that it astonished me to learn that this great Christian, arguably one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, would say, I count not myself to have apprehended. I am not perfect. I have not reached the standard yet. But I am not going to let that slow me down. I am not going to let my pursuit of perfection keep me from making progress. I am going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And even as I learn that by churning out rough draft chapters after rough draft chapters, you eventually had something that you could work with and polish, I also, in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual arena, had to learn, don't permit the pursuit of perfection to keep you from higher ground. Don't put perfection before progress. And what I discovered is that life is hard by the yard, but it is a cinch by the inch. And if step by step I'm making progress, when I least expect it, I will discover that I have reached my goal. An example of pursuing progress before perfection is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, the story of Peter walking on the water. The Bible says, beginning with verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Hallelujah. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter reminds me of myself. Peter had the habit of putting his mouth in motion before he put his brain in gear. Jesus had just finished feeding more than 5,000 people. The people wanted to make him king. With someone like this, we'll never have to worry about a famine. He can multiply our loaves and fish. The disciples were goading the people on. Jesus commanded them to go into a boat. "I'll meet you on the other side." And then our Lord ascended the mountain and spent most of the night in prayer. When the disciples started across that lake, the waters were tranquil, and they were a bit upset that Jesus had not taken advantage of what they thought was an ideal opportunity to seize power and set up an earthly kingdom. A storm arose. I've discovered that many times when you're complaining and upset, God will give you something to complain and be upset about. The disciples were so involved in trying to save their lives that the hours flew by And eventually they saw what appeared to be an apparition, a ghost walking on the water, and they were absolutely terrified. But it was Jesus, the master of ocean, of earth and sky. It was Jesus who in the morning of time spoke a world into existence by the words of his mouth. Jesus saw their terror and said to them what he says to us. Be not afraid. It is I. Someone who has done the counting has said that in the Bible, at least 366 times you have that statement, be not afraid. It is as if God wants to make sure that we are not fearful. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Imagine that. 366 times in Scripture, be not afraid. One for each day of the year and even leap year. God wants his people to be unafraid and to face the future with confidence. Peter is jubilant. Lord, if it is you, he says, recognizing clearly the voice of Jesus, bid me come and walk on the water. Say what you want about Peter. He was willing to take judicious risk. Judicious risk is taking risks when you have a backup, when you have something in reserve. And it was judicious risk. No, he had never walked on water before. But Peter didn't mind. He was pursuing progress, not perfection. Just give me permission, Jesus, and I will step out of this boat and do what no other human being that I know except you has ever been able to do. Just give me the power and I will pursue progress. I will do the best I can. Jesus knew that Peter would fail. Jesus knew that Peter would not be flawless. Jesus knew that Peter would not be without defect. And yet our blessed Lord said to the intrepid Peter, come. Come on, Peter. Come on and do this with me. And Peter, I can see, steps out of that boat and his feet hits the water. And it is as firm as concrete. And he begins to walk. Ah, what a thrill it must have been to feel firmness where he expected nothing but something that would draw him down. He walks with his eyes focused on Jesus. He walks with confidence in the power of Christ. Peter walking on the water. But the Bible says in verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. What winds do you see blowing in your life that are intimidating you? Are they the winds of financial reversal? Are they the winds of disease? Are they the winds of parenting challenges? What winds buffet you? What winds are compelling you to take your eyes off of Jesus? If you are going to pursue progress before perfection, keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus calls Peter to walk even though he knew Peter would fail. The fact of the matter is, I have not yet in all of recorded history heard of a baby walking flawlessly from the start. I still remember my son Barry, and the first time he walked, I held him, and my wife was on the other side of the living room, and we said, "Walk to mommy, walk to mommy." And Barry, like an inebriated sailor, started trying to get to my wife. But before he could get there, he stumbled and fell. What you would have thought from our exuberant reaction that he had painted the Mona Lisa. We were so excited about the fact that he had taken his first few steps. And so your heavenly daddy, Abba, is excited about the progress that you are making. And though you may sometimes become discouraged because you are not without flaw and not without defect, let the robe of his righteousness cover your wretchedness and pursue progress before perfection. We see this in these six principles. The story of Peter walking on the water. Obey God's commands. The disciples were obedient to the command of Christ. It was Jesus who had told them, "I want you to go over to the other side." When the storm came, the disciples were where Jesus had told them to be. Jesus, when the multitude was all excited about making him king, said, "No, no, no, disciples, you go over to the other side." And they obeyed him. They were not in a nightclub when the storm came. They were not doing something that they shouldn't have been doing when the storm came. I would rather be in a storm obeying the command of Christ than anywhere else on the planet. I want to stay in the will of God. One of the great blessings of my life is I had the opportunity, along with my seven siblings, to matriculate at Christian schools from grade one all the way through college. My mother, who was a fresh Christian, heard the scripture that all of your children should be taught of the Lord. And although she did not have very much money, she decided to obey the command of Christ. You and I need to obey the command of Christ if we are to pursue progress before perfection. So we obey his command, and then we recognize Jesus when he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, I would not try to step out of a boat unless I knew it was Jesus who was telling me to come. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come and walk with you on the water." Sometimes we don't recognize Jesus when he comes. We're like the disciples in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus. They were walking with Jesus and didn't know it. Many times heartaches and disappointments will keep our eyes from recognizing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is there something that is keeping you from recognizing Jesus? The disciples said, "It's a ghost." They did not know that it was Jesus. But if you are going to pursue progress and not perfection, recognize the Savior when he comes to you. On that walk to Emmaus, Jesus opened to his disappointed and disillusioned disciples the scriptures. And when they got to that little inn, he blessed the food. There was something about the way he blessed the food. He lifted his nail-pierced hands, and they knew it was the Lord. There is something about the presence of Christ that will take away your need for food. They forgot about their meal. They went running back over the road over which they had already come. And they chastised themselves as they went, saying, "We should have known it was the Lord. For did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way?" If you are going to pursue progress before perfection, recognize Jesus when he comes. But there is the third thing. It was an amazing thing for Peter to take judicious risk. He stepped out of that boat and took judicious risk. Are you missing out on a great blessing from God by your failure to take judicious risk? In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, the productive servants, the man with five and the man with two talents, took judicious risk. I remember when I decided to become a pastor in the military and to join the Navy as a military chaplain. My mentors and friends told me, "This will be the worst mistake you have ever made in your life. Don't do it, Barry. Don't do it." But I decided to take judicious risk. I knew I was only signing up for 3 years, and if I didn't like it, I could do something else. In other words, I had a reserve parachute as I stepped out of that vocational boat. Take judicious risk. As I started getting promoted, my friends started changing their mind about the wisdom of my joining the Navy. And when I became an admiral, well, some of the very ones who had discouraged me from joining, when they would introduce me to preach, would say, "I encouraged him." I encouraged him to join the military ministry. And I blamed it on selective amnesia. But nonetheless, take judicious risk if you are going to make progress before perfection. Pursue that progress. The fourth thing we see in this story is receive power from Jesus. Oh, our Lord wants you and me to have power. He wants you and me to have power. And we, my friends, must receive that power from him. You can't walk on water in your own strength, but with the power of the omnipotent Christ, you can walk on water and you can glide on dew. "Lord, if it's you, bid me come," says Peter, "and walk on the water." Jesus wants to give you and me that power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me." The Holy Spirit is yours and mine for the asking. Luke 11, 13 says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your heavenly Father willing to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So we're going to obey God's commands if we're pursuing progress before perfection, recognizing Jesus when he comes, taking judicious risks. We've got the power now, but there is an enemy who will intimidate you. There is an enemy who will intimidate me. We must keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Don't let the winds blowing make you take your eyes off of Jesus. Don't let the challenges make you take your eyes off of Jesus. When Peter saw the wind boisterous, he took his eyes off of Jesus. I think of Jairus in Luke chapter 8. His daughter was dying. Jesus was on the way to the home of Jairus. A woman touched the hem of his garment. It's all in Luke 8, and was healed. When that woman testified, Jairus learned that she had been sick with that issue of blood for 12 years, and Jairus knew that his daughter was also 12 years of age. But a servant came from Jairus' home and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any longer?" Thank God Jairus didn't take his eyes off of Jesus. He followed our Lord to that home, and Jesus raised her from the dead. Don't let the winds of doubt, don't let the winds of discouragement make you take your eyes off of Jesus. Finally, deal with failure quickly. I like what the verse says. It says of Peter in Matthew 14, 30, and beginning to sink. He didn't wait until he was neck deep in water to pray. And he didn't pray a long prayer. It does not take long for the Lord to help us. "Lord, save me," he said. And Jesus responded. This man, pursuing progress before perfection, became the only person other than Christ in recorded history to walk on water. Peter discovered, just when I need Jesus, he is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to hear, just when I need him most. Be like the Apostle Paul. You may not have reached perfection, but don't let that discourage you. Do that one thing that he talks about in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting those things which are behind, and step after step, pursuing those things which are before, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, our Lord.